friends, welcome to the Averagely Speaking podcast. I am joined today by Miss Pops, my cat. She is currently crawling on my lap and putting her tail and her butt in my face as she likes to do. So you'll probably hear her maybe meowing, maybe purring. We don't know what she'll be doing during this podcast, but nevertheless, she is here with me and she wanted to join the party for today. So hi, Pops. Okay, so let's see again, as I always say to start off the podcast, a real random array of topics to cover. And I guess kind of just how it works every week for me is as the week is going by, as I start to think through things or something pops into my mind, I just write it down on my list, and then that's what I talk about when I record each week. So it is a little haphazard random, but I do think that it offers up a good variety of topics throughout the week. And so hopefully that is of interest to you guys. All right. So first up, I wanted to talk about some cleaning and organization tips. So I can't remember if I've mentioned this before, but I am a big cleaner and organizer. I can't say that I love cleaning, but I like things to be clean. So if I want things to be clean, that means I have to do the cleaning. And so I do a lot of cleaning throughout the week. And sometimes it becomes overwhelming, I will say. It's this morning, for example, I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much stuff to do today. And most of it is not fun stuff. And I do find that a lot of my Saturdays are like that nowadays because I do have to work Monday through Friday, where previously I used to have every other Friday or every Friday off. And so Fridays were like, clean, get your tasks done, and then I could actually enjoy the weekends. But now, because I have to work through Friday, all of that got moved to Saturday and Sunday, and so I just feel like a lot of my weekend is kind of cramming in all these things. But I feel a lot better when I have them done. So, for example, like when I woke up this morning, I just was like looking around, and all I can see is like dust and dirt and grime and dirty towels. And I mean, nothing is really dirty, but like in my mind, they're dirty. And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have to clean everything. And so Saturday mornings, I do like my big kind of cleaning, but I do sprinkle things throughout the week. I guess that's my first tip, is like sprinkle things throughout the week so that it's not overly burdensome at any given time. And I used to do everything on Sundays. I did my cleaning, I did my grocery shopping, I did meal prep, I did like every single thing would fall on Sundays, and I would be brought to like nearly tears because it was just so much to do at one day and it was overwhelming. And I just felt like it was not a fun way to spend my weekends. And so I kind of went back to the drawing table and spread things out throughout the week so that it's not so much to tackle at any given time. So yes, a lot of my stuff does fall on Saturdays now, but I still do things like yesterday I did laundry. So Fridays are now my laundry day because I get to work from home, and so it's an easy thing to have running while I'm working. I do all of my meal planning and grocery shopping during the week, so like Wednesday and Thursday, so I get that out of the way. So I just try to do different things. Like Sundays, I'll do meal prep so that it's, again, and like Sundays, I also do cleaning the floor. So either sweeping and mopping or sweeping and vacuuming. So again, just kind of spreading things out makes it a little bit easier every day. The second cleaning tip I have is my crumb coat technique. So for anyone who is a baker, which I am not really. I can do basic things like chocolate chip cookies, but I've never like actually made a cake. That is actually on my list. It's like on my bucket list of things I want to do. I want to make a layered cake like the professionals do, where you've got like the ring of frosting or whatever on the outside, and then like inside is some sort of filling, and then you layer it and like in stacks or in a stack, and then you like do the crumb coat of your frosting on the outside, so it kind of just like gives it like a smoother surface to work off of, and then you put your like full decorative frosting on. So anyway, as a side note, that is something I want to do. So when I actually do it, I'll report back. But I apply that crumb coat technique to my cleaning. So in particular, when I'm cooking, meal prepping, things like that, you know, there's just crumbs everywhere and things spill on the counter. Like this morning I was making pancakes and I dropped maple syrup everywhere, and it just becomes this like sticky, crummy, dirty, overwhelming mess. And what I do is throughout my cooking process, I take like a reusable paper towel and I just wipe down all the crumbs. So just get all the crumbs and sticky bits and flour pockets and whatever might have gotten onto the counters or even the floors and wipe those down, rinse off your reusable towel and keep doing that throughout your cooking so that you have at least a semi-clean surface. One, just for peace of mind. Two, so that you're not getting your like containers, like say you have like a container of flour and a container of sugar, you're not getting those dirty by virtue of putting it on a dirty counter. And three, so that when you do your final clean, you've already got a lot of this stuff up. So I know this is bad. I'm a big paper towel user and I don't want to waste my paper towel, my nice clean paper towel on a dirty counter because I feel like it's just going to like smear things around and not really get clean. So do my crumb coat, get all the crap off of the counter first, and then just do one final sweep with like a clean paper towel and some cleaners. And then my third tip, and this is, I guess, kind of cleaning, but more on the organization side, is to prep when you can if you have 5 to 10 minutes of time. So I am a list maker at the core. I write down everything that I have to do, even things like pluck eyebrows or trim toenails. Like every single thing I need to do goes on my to-do list and it's all scheduled by date and then by time so that when I look at my task list every day on my phone or my computer or whatever I'm using, it's all in order of operation and I can kind of assess and be like, oh, okay, I've got too many things during the middle part of the day. I need to move something out or like reorganize or do something like that. So anyway, I schedule all of my tasks out. But this tip is about getting things done proactively. So if you have 5 free minutes, 10 free minutes, an hour, whatever it might be, look forward in your to-do list and see what things you can tackle at that point in time. So not everything can be done early, or maybe you don't want to do things early. So a lot of times I'll look at something and it's like, yes, I could do it now, but I really want it to be on the day that it was scheduled because of X, Y, and Z reason. But if there are things you can get done early, getting them done early is just like this extra little bonus for the day. And then it's going to alleviate the stress of the following day or later that day, whenever it was that you accomplished it early from. So for example, last night I had done, you know, work for the day, did my workout, finished all my tasks and things I wanted to do. And I was just kind of sitting around watching TV and it was a Friday. So I was like, okay, I don't really have to go to bed super early since the weekend. And so I was like, let me just look at my to-do list and see if there's anything I can get done early, because I knew that today I was going to have a lot of stuff. And I was like, anything that I can get done early will make me, will help improve my mental state come Saturday morning. So I looked at my list and I saw that I needed to make for dinner tonight, like a lentil dill pickle salad. And I bought dry lentils at the store this week. And so I was like, I need to cook the lentils. And cooking things like lentils and rice and oatmeal take a long time where I live. And so I was like, I'm going to get that out of the way because I don't want to be sitting there tonight on Saturday waiting an hour for my lentils to cook before I can even start making my salad. I know that that would make me in a bad mood and I'd be starving and all this stuff. So at like 7:30 last night, I started making lentils and it was just a nice thing to do. I had the time. I was just watching TV, so I still got to do something enjoyable, but I also was able to check something off my list. So yeah, I think you can apply that to either life or work, whatever it might be. I do that at work a lot too. I'll kind of assess later in the week if I have some time and be like, okay, here's this little thing that I'd scheduled for Thursday. It's Tuesday afternoon. I have time. Let me get it done now. And then come Thursday, either I've got free time or maybe something new popped up I had to work on. So anyway, that is just my little tip there. And I think I might try and share more cleaning and organization tips along the way. I feel like that is an area in which I excel. I guess more on the organization side. I'm not like an expert cleaner in terms of like use this product mixed with this product in this area, but I do feel like more of like the method and the structure and how to tackle things in an organized and prioritized manner, that is where I can provide some benefit. So there you have it. Okay, the second thing I want to talk about is pop culture Jeopardy. So I started watching this, whenever it first came out, was it around the holidays? I'm not sure. But I started watching it just as like a kind of a fun throwaway show. And I really enjoyed it because I can't watch regular Jeopardy. I know absolutely nothing none of the questions I would be able to answer. And so it's just not that fun for me. And I still don't know most of the pop culture questions, but I do at least generally understand what they're talking about and have some ideas in my mind of what the answers might be. So I find it to be fun. And I think that Colin Jost is a funny host. And so I started watching it when it first came out. And then I feel like I caught up on the episodes. And so I moved on to other shows. And then somebody was talking about how they were watching it. And I was like, is it still on? Like, I feel like that's been off for a while now. Anyway, I went back and there was a whole ton of more episodes. And so I started rewatching it again. And it kind of progressed into like the quarterfinals and semifinals and things like that. And so I'm really enjoying it. But it is so hard. I mean, I don't understand how people have this much random knowledge in their head. Like, how much is it just things that they know and how much is it things that they're studying in advance because there are topics they think they might get asked? And like a lot of it, I guess you could, I'd say it's like 50%. Like 50%, I feel like you might come about in your day-to-day life that somebody would talk about or is on social media or whatever. But a lot of it is so niche that I'm like, I don't even understand the sentence, let alone what the answer is. So it's really interesting to see how people like have all this information. And then the actual like format of the show is just beyond comprehension to me. Like, I don't understand how these contestants do what they do. One, how they can formulate, like hear the response or see the like prompt or the question and then like immediately know the answer. Like, it takes my brain time to like understand the question and then like go into the archives and be like, okay, I think this is it. And then I'm like, I have to like recall what the name of something is or the like who they're talking about. Like, it's not instantaneous. So it marvels me how these people are able to like instantly pull this information from their brain and then respond in answer format. Like, I just don't think I could do that. And then I was thinking, because of that, like, it's sometimes kind of frustrating because I'm like, okay, I know the answer to this one. I know what they're talking about, but the contestants answer so quickly that like I didn't have time to formulate my thoughts and come up with the answer on my own. And so I like lose that satisfaction. So I was like, I feel like I need to almost like pause it. Like, if it's a question that I'm like, okay, I know what this prompt is, like pause it, allow myself however much time I need to come up with the answer just for fun, and then press play to see if I'm right. So I might try that in one of the next episodes I watch, just because I feel like it's fun to play along, but I can't keep up with the cadence of the contestants. So anyway, highly recommend if you like pop culture type stuff and just kind of a fun, easy, quick watch. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is an update on my 49ers prediction. So if I haven't mentioned it already, which I'm sure that I have, I am a huge 49ers fan. So NFL, for anyone who's not familiar. And I mentioned a prediction I had about what the next season will hold for the 49ers. So that would be the 2025 season with the Super Bowl in 2026. And at the time I came up with that prediction, it must have been right after like the end of the season. And so there wasn't a lot of information yet about kind of next steps and off-season tactics and things like that. And so since then, it's been a bit of a wild ride for the 49ers franchise. And I don't follow super closely. I listen to some podcasts and read some articles. You know, my dad sometimes shares information. So I generally know what's going on, but like I don't have like a lot of detailed, thorough analysis. But the 49ers have released a shit ton of players. Like, I swear they got rid of half the team either through trades or just regular releases or whatever it is. And so it's like, oh my gosh, like how are they? And they haven't been picking people up. So everything you're reading is like, this person traded to this team, this person traded to this team, this team picked up this person, this team picked up this person. And the 49ers seem to be losing a lot of people, but not gaining any. And so I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like who's going to be on our team next year? Like, there's a couple of, you know, all-star veterans that will be there. And then everyone else, it's like a clean slate. And I know that they're banking a lot on the draft and they're really going to put the focus on just drafting new people and building out the team that way. So, I mean, who knows how that will go, but it's definitely a little bit nerve-wracking because it's going to be kind of a grab bag at the start of the season of like what is the team actually going to look like, because there's going to be so many new factors. And I do think that's a good thing, because after the 49ers were in the Super Bowl, in preparation for the next season, which was this past season, they didn't do anything really. There was they kind of stayed stagnant. They kept the team generally the same, and they spent a lot of the offseason just negotiating new contracts for the same players. And so nothing really changed. And obviously we had a terrible season last year. And so I do think it's good in that sense that, hey, if you want something to change, you have to make changes. And so hopefully this drastic of changes yields some good results. But it's also scary because we can't assume that they're going to be the same team that they were 2 years ago when they were in the Super Bowl, because it's going to be a lot of new players. Anyway, all that to say, my new prediction, which is really just a tweak on the prior prediction, is that I still think the 49ers will go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl in 2026, so this next season, at home in Santa Clara. But I think it's going to be more akin to the like Miracle on Ice, I think that's what it was called, which was, I think, like the 1980 U.S. hockey team, Olympic team, where they, I don't remember all the nuances of this, but for some reason we had to like go with like kind of unknown college players, I think it was, to create our U.S. Olympic hockey team. And it was a whole story because the players, like, they weren't expected to do anything good, I guess, because it's kind of like a hodgepodge group of people, and they weren't professionals, and it wasn't our best foot forward. And so nobody expected them to really go anywhere. And then they ended up like upsetting, was it Russia? One of the like really good teams, I think, in like the semifinals or something like that. And so it's called the Miracle on Ice because nobody expected this to happen. It was like this monumental sports history. And so I kind of feel like the 49ers will be like that, where it's like, okay, they've kind of gotten rid of half the people on their team. The team's going to be a slew of rookies that were just drafted that nobody has ever, they've none of them have played together because they're all coming from different college teams. But somehow they will persevere and push forward and, though unexpected, still come through and make the final win. So that's my prediction. I hope that's the case, but we shall see what happens. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about today is an update on my mountain downsize. So I think I mentioned this in the last podcast that I kind of had this epiphany and started working on this new plan of what I want my life to look like moving forward, which is essentially downsizing and moving up into the mountains and living like a more simple life. So I'm calling it my mountain downsize. That's the name of my project in my all my tools that I'm using. But since I last talked about it, so I've just started to kind of accumulate information at this point. And I think I mentioned before that there's like so many questions and considerations that keep popping into my mind. And it in itself has become a little bit overwhelming, because it would be different if I was just like, oh, I'm just going to go buy a house somewhere and that's it. Okay, well, that house is probably going to be already built and everything's already been factored in. You know, the land is already good to go. There's already air conditioning. There's already established trash pickup. Like, it's probably going to be a kind of, what's it called? Like, hit the ground running type of situation. But because I want to do almost like a start from scratch, getting a lot and then building something, you have to think of everything. And so all the things that currently are a given, like somebody's going to deliver mail to my house, wouldn't necessarily be a given in this scenario. And so I'm just like, all day long, things are popping into my mind. Like, for example, like, is there mail pickup? Is there trash pickup? Is there air conditioning? Where do I put my car? Like, is there a paved road? Just a million different things. And so I've just tried to jot all those things down so I don't forget about it and I can figure it out as I learn more information. And then I've also just been kind of poking around in Zillow and looking for lots that I think look decent, in that they're not too expensive and they have a I need to be near a road. Like, I don't want to be fully starting from scratch. So looking for things that already have like a road, like a passageway to that lot, and that they're already kind of cleared out. I don't want to necessarily have to pay for someone to come chop down trees, nor do I want to chop down trees because I like trees and I think that's a horrible thing that humans do. So anyway, I've just been poking around, but I'm also starting to learn that the poking around isn't really going to do me any good if I've never actually been to these areas, because it looks good in theory on Zillow, but like, I don't actually know what the area looks like, what the town looks like, what the drive looks like to get there, all these factors. And so I think what I've come to realize is I need to start just chipping away at it by actually going to look at places. So first things first is like, where do I want to be? Where should I try to find a lot? So for example, next weekend, I'm going to go up to a little nearby town and just drive around because there was a lot there that looked cool. So just drive around and see if I like it. If I like it, check, it goes on the list. If I don't like it, it's off the list. And just start to narrow it down that way. The other thing that I kind of realized is I need to take weather into consideration a little bit more than I previously had. So I've always had this vision of moving up into the mountains partly because of the weather and because it's cooler the higher you go in elevation. And I always have preferred cooler climates, cooler weather. I've never been a big summer person, and so I'm like, great, if it's only 70 degrees in the mountains on a summer day, like that sounds awesome. But as I get older, I'm actually kind of shifting, and I feel like warmer weather is more important to me. And so I'm worried now that getting too high up into the mountains is going to be too cold for too long of the year. So for example, one of the towns that I was looking at where they have a bunch of lots, it's very high up in elevation. And I looked up at the like yearly, weather averages. And even in the middle of summer, it's like not that warm. And it's only quote unquote summer for like a month and a half. And so I was like, ooh, I don't know, man. Like it's, you know, March, mid-March here, and I'm already looking forward to summer, and I'm in like a much lower elevation. And so it's not as cold here. And so I'm like, I don't know if I can do that really, really short summer. So again, I think what I need to do is just kind of pop up to these different towns at various points throughout the year and see if it's something that I can actually handle weather-wise and something that I want to live in for years to come. So those are the two kind of things that I was like, okay, I need to just kind of narrow down my task list at this point in time and not worry about these nitty-gritty details like air conditioning, but instead worry about like, where do I want to go? Like big things first, then work on the small things. And then the other thing is I did find a company that does like modular homes, and they have pre-designed options that you can use, or you can do a custom build. And so that's kind of what I was looking at because they look pretty nice and are reasonably sized and everything like that. But when I talked to them yesterday, it was like information overload. And what I realized is that they are only like half of the picture, and then you have to do a lot of stuff on your own through either a general contractor or on your own. So like, for example, the general contractor has to do like the permits and putting down your foundation. And if you want like hardscaping, like patio walkways and things like that, like all those things go through the general contractor. Then this company would come in and like they do the actual, just like, here's the house. And then I would have to do things like window coverings and stuff. And so it's just a lot that would have to be done. But I still think it'll be a fun project. I think I just need to have more realistic expectations of like, take it slow, figure out little things as I go along the way. Like it doesn't have to be done tomorrow. It doesn't have to be done next year. Like I think I just need to take a more strategic, slow approach and not try to rush through it just because I'm excited about it. So yeah, that is my update on the mountain downsize. I'm sure I'll have a lot more information as I go. So hopefully that's interesting. For my positive thought for the week, so let's see, what did I say? I said, this kind of goes back to my organization tips earlier, but I said there's a simple joy in getting things done earlier than planned and decluttering. So like I said, I love checking things off the list. I especially love checking things off the list early. So highly recommend doing that just from that like innate satisfaction. And then I also love decluttering. I definitely, as I get older, am more and more minimalist. I don't like to have a lot of things out. One, because it's easier to clean without them. And also I just like the look of like a clean, sleek countertop. And so I just like to declutter as much as I can. And I think it was last weekend, I took a huge load of items that I had identified around the house I didn't want anymore to like the Goodwill to donate. And it was so freeing. I mean, I typically house things outside in the garage for like a couple months to get enough to make it worth the trip to go drop them off, but also just in case I change my mind on something. So I'll just kind of store it outside for a bit. And then after a couple months, I'm like, okay, I haven't used this. It's good to donate. But yeah, it's just so freeing to like just get things out of the way. If you don't want it anymore, like get it out, give it, donate it to a friend, donate it to a donation center, throw it out if it's in a bad state. You know, just there's no need to hold on to things that you don't need or want or use anymore. So that was my positive thought of the week. And then my stray thought is, this is going to be a little bit hard for me to explain, so it's probably going to be a longer explanation than my stray thoughts typically are. But I saw a quote on Pinterest. I've been really back on Pinterest lately, and you know a lot of what they have on there is just like motivational, inspirational quotes that are in some sort of nice design that somebody created and posted. And there was something on there about how like humans aren't here to lose weight and make money or something like that. I don't remember the exact quote, but it just really stuck with me. And I was like, that is so true. Like, I feel like humans have gotten into this crazy mindset of like all these expectations that we have to live up to, obligations, you know, comparison with other people. And so we do all these things like try to make a lot of money and try to be famous or powerful, and you have to do X, Y, and Z, and you have to, you know, like there's just so much stuff, like all this pressure that we put on ourselves. And it's like, why? Like, why do we feel that? No other creatures have this same sense of obligation that humans do. And that's not to say that animals and plants and things like that don't have conflict and stress and things that they do. I mean, I know that there's animals that build communities and things like that, but not the same way that humans do. And I just feel like a lot of other creatures, again, what be it a tree, a plant, a cat, whatever it is, they are here on this planet to enjoy their life or to just live their life. And they don't have this stress that humans put on themselves. And it's just so interesting that we've evolved to this point in time where it's like, okay, I have to get my steps in, I have to do my workout because I can't gain a pound, and you know, oh, have to go to work today and work my second job so that I can get the money to buy this computer. It's like, why? We don't need all these things. Like, why do we set these expectations for ourselves? Like, why can't we just live our lives like other creatures do? So I don't know, it was just an interesting thought, and I'm not really sure what to make of it or what to do with it, but thought I would share it just for food for thought for you all. So with that, I will close it out for today, but thank you as always for listening, and I hope you have a great day.